जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बाला गिरीवन गोपी जन बाला गिरीवन दारी जय यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन
इन द बैक
यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा बनचारी जमुना तीरा बनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बाला गिरिवन दारी जय जय गोपी जन बाला गिरिवन दारी जय यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा बनचारी यमुना तीरा बनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस पार्वजाचार्य असुतरसत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय इस्कॉन डीवीडी फाउंडर आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग ग्लोरीज श्रील प्रभुपाद ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
द
39.
So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10. We're reading starting with chapter 39, which we'll do responsively, and then we're going to the end of the chapter, which I think is text 57 or 58, somewhere in there, yes. Yes, text 57 will be the last. But this one's on the board, 39. Okay. Tatro pas prisya paneyam Pitva mristam mani prabham Riksha sandam upavraja Saramo ratam avishat Tatra paspisya paniyam Pitva mistam mani prabham Riksha sandam pavradya Saramo ratam avisat Tatra paspisya paniyam Pitva mistam mani prabham Riksha sandam pavradya Saramo ratam avishat Tatra papisya taniyam Pitva mistam mani prabham Viksha sandam upavraja Saramo ratam avishat Tatra upaprisya paniyam Patvi mistam manabibam Viksha sandam upavraja Saramo ratam avisat Tatra there Upasprisya touching the water Paniyam in his hand Pitva drinking Mristam sweet Money like jewels, Prabham effulgent, Vriksha of trees, Sandam a grove, Upavraja moving up to, Sarama with Balaram, Ratam the chariot, Avishat he mounted. Translation: The river's sweet water was more effulgent than brilliant jewels. After Lord Krishna had touched it for purification, he drank some from his hand. Then he had the chariot moved near a grove of trees and climbed back on along with Balaram. So we're going to do just the English translation for the next 17 verses. Akrura asked the two lords to take their seats on the chariot. Then, taking their permission, he went to a pool in the Jamuna and took his bath, as enjoined in the scriptures. While immersing himself in the water and reciting eternal mantras from the Vedas, Akrura suddenly saw Balaram and Krishna before him. Akrura thought, how can the two sons of Anakadanda be, who are sitting in the chariot, be standing here in the water? They must have left the chariot. But when he came out of the river, there they were on the chariot just as before, asking himself, was the vision I had of them in the water an illusion? Akrura re-entered the pool. There, Akrura
now saw Anantasesha, the lord of the serpents, receiving praise from Siddhas, Charanas, Gandharvas, and the demons, who all had their heads bowed. The personality of Godhead, whom Akrura saw, had thousands of heads, thousands of hoods, and thousands of helmets. His blue garment and his fair complexion, as white as the filaments of a lotus stem, made him appear like white Kailash mountain with its many peaks. Akrura then saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead lying peacefully on the lap of Lord Anantasesha. The complexion of that Supreme Person was like a dark blue cloud. He wore yellow garments and had forearms and reddish lotus petal eyes. His face looked attractive and cheerful, with its smiling, endearing glance and lovely eyebrows, its raised nose and finely formed ears, and its beautiful cheeks and reddish lips. The Lord's broad shoulders and expansive chest were beautiful, and his arms long and stout. His neck resembled a conch shell. His navel was deep, and his abdomen bore lines like those on a banyan leaf. He had large loins and hips, thighs like an elephant's trunk, and shapely knees and shanks. His raised ankles reflected the brilliant effulgence emanating from the nails on his petal-like toes, which beautified his lotus feet. Adorned with a helmet, bracelets, and armlets, which were all bedecked with many precious jewels, and also with a belt, a sacred thread, necklaces, ankle bells, and earrings, the Lord shone with dazzling effulgence. In one hand, he held a lotus flower. In the others, a conch shell, discus, and club. Gracing his chest were the Srivatsa mark, the brilliant Kastaba gem, and a flower garland. Encircling the Lord and worshiping him were Nanda, Sunanda, and his other personal attendants, Sanaka and other Kumaras, Brahma, Rudra, and other chief demigods, the nine chief brahmanas, and the best of the saintly devotees, headed by Prahlad, Narada, Uparichara, Vasu. Each of these great personalities was worshiping the Lord by chanting sanctified words of praise in his own unique mode. Also in attendance were the Lord's principal internal potencies, Sri Pushti, Gir, Kanti, Kirti, Tushti, Ila, and Urja, as were his material potencies, Vidya, Avidya, and Maya, and his internal pleasure potency, Shakti. Purport, Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti explains the Lord's potencies mentioned in these verses. Shri is the potency of wealth, Pushti, that of strength, Gir is knowledge, Kanti, beauty, Kirti, fame, and Tushti, renunciation. These are the Lord's six opulences. Ila is his Bhushakti, also known as Sundini, the internal potency of whom the element earth is an expansion. Urja is his internal potency for performing pastimes. She expands as the tulsi plant in this world. Vidya and Avidya, knowledge and ignorance, are external potencies who cause the living entities liberation and bondage, respectively. Shakti is his internal pleasure potency. Ladini and Maya is an internal potency who is the basis of Vidya and Avidya. The word Cha implies the presence of the Lord's marginal energy, the Jiva Shakti, who is subordinate to Maya. Lord Vishnu was being served by all these personified potencies. In text 57, As the great devotee Akrura beheld all of this, he became extremely pleased and felt enthused with transcendental devotion. His intense ecstasy caused his bodily hairs to stand on end and tears to flow from his eyes, drenching his entire body. Somehow managing to steady himself, Akrura bowed his head to the ground. Then he joined his palms in supplication, and in a voice choked with emotion, very slowly and attentively began to pray. Thus the end of the purports. The humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, of the 10th canto, 39th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Akrura's Vision.
Case. So I've been reading, and I'm going to read a little bit more. This is from Krishna book. And of course it's from the same chapter. So I just picked a few of the paragraphs of Srila Prabhupada, how he describes this as well. Wonderful thing about Krishna book is you can listen to Srila Prabhupada as he translates from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. When he was doing all the other 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's very few tapes that were saved, because we kept using the same tapes over and over and over again. At that time, everything was difficult to come by. But for Krishna book, many tapes are there, and you can hear Srila Prabhupada on the dictaphone machine as he praises, as he describes all of these pastimes. And of course we know this was all being done at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. During the day, he was managing ISKCON society. He was training. So much he wanted his disciples, especially his leading disciples, to spend time with him so they understood his mood. So let me read. So the Lord, accompanied by Akrura and Balaram, traveled in the chariot with great speed toward the bank of the Jamuna. Simply by taking a bath in the Jamuna, anyone can diminish the reactions of his sinful activities. Krishna and Balaram took their baths in the river and washed their faces. After drinking the transparent, crystal clear water of the Jamuna, they took their seats again on the chariot. The chariot was standing underneath the shade of big trees, and the two brothers sat down there. Akrura then took permission to also take a bath in the Jamuna. According to Vedic ritual, after taking bath in a river, one should stand at least half submerged and murmur the Gayatri mantra. While he was standing in the river, Akrura suddenly saw Balaram and Krishna within the water. He was surprised to see them there because he was confident that they were sitting on the chariot. Confused, he immediately came out of the water and went to see where the boys were. And he was very much surprised to see that they were sitting on the chariot as before. When he saw them on the chariot, he began to wonder whether he had mistakenly seen them in the water. He therefore went back to the river. This time he saw not only Balaram and Krishna there, but many of the demigods and all the siddhas, charanas, and gandharvas. They were all bowing down before the Lord. He also saw Lord Seshanaga with thousands of hoods. Lord Seshanaga was covered with bluish garments, and his necks were all white. The white necks of Seshanaga appeared exactly like snow-capped mountains. On the coiled lap of Seshanaga, Krishna was sitting very soberly with 4 hands. His eyes were like the reddish petals of the lotus flower. In other words, after returning to the Jamuna, Akrura saw Balaram turned into Seshanaga
and Krishna turned into Mahavishnu. He saw the four-handed Supreme Personality of Godhead smiling very beautifully. The Lord was very pleasing to all and was looking forward toward everyone with a merciful glance. He appeared very beautiful with his raised nose, his broad forehead, attractive ears, and reddish lips. His arms, reaching to his knees, were very strongly built. His shoulders were high, his chest was very broad, and his neck was shaped like a conch shell. His navel was very deep, and his abdomen was marked with three lines. His hips were broad and big, resembling those of a woman, and his thighs resembled the trunks of elephants. The other parts of his legs, the joints and lower extremities, were all very beautiful. The nails of his feet were dazzling, and his toes were as beautiful as the petals of the lotus flower. His helmet was decorated with very valuable jewels. There was a nice belt around his waist, and he wore a sacred thread across his broad chest. Bangles were on his hands and armlets on the upper portion of his arms. He wore bells on his ankles. He possessed dazzling beauty, and his palms were like lotus flowers. He was further beautified by the different emblems of the Vishnumurti, the conch shell, club, disc, and lotus flower, which he held in his four hands. His chest was marked with the particular signs of Vishnu, and he wore fresh flower garlands. All in all, he was very beautiful to look at. Akrura also saw his lordship, surrounded by intimate associates like the four Kumaras, Sanak, Sanatan, Sananda, and Sanat Kumar, and other associates like Sunanda and Nanda, as well as demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. The nine great learned sages were there, and also devotees like Prahlad and Narada and all eight Vasus. All were engaged in offering prayers to the Lord with clean hearts and pure words. After seeing the transcendental personality of Godhead, Akrura immediately became overwhelmed with joy and great devotion. And all over his body, there was transcendental shivering. Although for the moment he was bewildered, he retained his clear consciousness and bowed down his head before the Lord with folded hands and a faltering voice. He began to offer prayers to the Lord. Hare Krishna. So over the last many days, we've been hearing these descriptions of the beautiful form of the Lord. Today we hear some very specific descriptions. For myself, in having the opportunity sometimes to go on the altar and to see Krishna Balaram close up, you experience all these things as well, looking at their forms and everything they're wearing. This is the goal for a devotee. You can see now everyone is appearing here to offer prayers. It says with pure hearts and very specific words. Prabhupada said the words devotees say, very beautiful. It's not haphazard. So I've been listening to the classes each day and I was thinking, well, of course you already know, I can only talk about Srila Prabhupada. So I was thinking in the same way, how the pure devotee trains us in this way to appreciate the form. Of course, we know we went through nine cantos to get to the 10th canto, the smiling face of the Lord. Now every day this is what we're hearing. And I was thinking of Srila Prabhupada, when he was here, how naturally it didn't require training, didn't require some thought
automatically, when you saw Srila Prabhupada, all these feelings would arise. And Srila Prabhupada's body, which I got to experience every day, almost 3 hours a day, massaging the body of the pure devotee. So I thought I would try to express in some way my own experience. So of course, one of the first things I had to do when I joined Srila Prabhupada was I had to massage him. This is the main duty of the servant, was massage. And cooking, if you knew how to cook. But massage was requisite. And as I said, Prabhupada, the first thing he said to me was, anyone can massage. But he was being kind. Because as I experienced over the next several days, massage, he was very specific. What you did, how you pressed, where you pressed, everything about it, he was giving instructions. I had never given anyone massage, never touched it. So for me, and it was Prabhupada, I wasn't being trained as a masseuse to massage people. I went right in and I watched. That was my first day watching Sudama Maharaj give Prabhupada a massage. And I thought, he can do it every day. And then after the massage, he said, Prabhupada, I'm leaving now. I'm going to Japan. And again, my heart fell. I thought, I'm going to have to touch Prabhupada. How do you even do that? But what I learned was, of course, the massage was from the top down. It wasn't from the feet up. We massage first with the head. That was the very first thing. But I'm going to speak from the down to up, from Prabhupada's lotus feet. We hear all these beautiful descriptions of Sri Krishna's lotus feet, shining like jewels, his toenails, beautiful toes. Srila Prabhupada's very beautiful feet. This is not an exaggeration. Anything I say is just fact as what was seen. Prabhupada's toenails. I never saw Prabhupada's toenails grow. They were always perfect. Not that they didn't grow, but Prabhupada, he was very, don't want to use the word fanatic, but he kept his nails, his toenails, and his fingernails to the quake. We say to the quake. So as soon as they break away from the skin, that's where he cut them. And I was with Srila Prabhupada for 2.5 years. I never clipped his nails. It was the one thing I didn't do. I shaved his head. So many things were there. But never clipped his nails. So I don't know how often he did it, but Prabhupada liked his nails very short and very clean. Once one devotee went to get his Brahmin initiation. And he put his hand out for the thread and Prabhupada saw his nails. This was in New Vrindavan. He was working on the farm. New Vrindavan was known for being muddy. Lots of mud, rain. Not like here, rainy season. It can rain any time of year. Winter, summer, spring, fall, doesn't matter. So lots of mud. So lots of opportunity to get dirty. Dirt, soil in your hands. And Prabhupada saw him and he chastised him. He says, why? He said, clean, come back. This was Prabhupada. Everything, the details. So Prabhupada's toes, his nails, they were always perfect. Clean. And his toes, also very pretty. I would yank those toes. That was the goal at the end of the massage. When you grabbed those toes and you pulled them and you wanted to hear that. If you didn't hear that, you'd try once, twice, but you can't just keep pulling on toes, even Prabhupada's toes. And he never said anything as I'm pulling. But when you grabbed it, and it's also difficult because you have the oil on your hands. oils all over Prabhupada's body by now. The whole body's been massaged. His golden body is glistening, just like the sun. Golden complexion.
But I grab, and when you heard that sound, you became very happy. That was success. These little things. Service doesn't have to be big, big thing. Any little thing makes you happy in service. This is what we're learning here, day after day after day. The ecstasy in the service. The ecstasy is in our service. This is where it comes from. And when you're serving the pure devotee, you're serving Krishna, that ecstasy is very wonderful. So, of course, there were the bottoms of his feet. Prabhupada, every day, his whole body's being covered in oil. Sandalwood oil on the head and mustard oil the rest of the body. Many times pouring tablespoon of mustard oil. So the bottoms of his feet, and they were also pinkish. And they were soft. There was no hard spots. Massaging Srila Prabhupada's body was a joyful experience because every part of it was wonderful. So you would massage his feet. And again, whatever you did, even during the massage, 1.5 hours on average, sometimes almost 2 hours, because he told you when to move. You didn't move from one spot to the next until he gave the okay. This is what it was like to be personal servant. You have no ability, you don't do anything unless that's what you're supposed to do. He told me once, you're sitting in your room all day, I'm sitting in my room all day. Because I was struggling. He said, we're both sitting in our rooms like we were the same. I said, Prabhupada, you're Hari Das Thakur. I said, I'm going crazy sitting in my room. He said, we go out on the morning walk together. He was like, we're together. Servant and master, we're together. We both go out on the morning walk. So, and then we come back. And then we sit. So that was his lotus feet, pinkish lotus feet. So I got to massage them, morning and evening. And I said, in the evening, and you can never get enough. See, this is devotee's attitude. You always want more service and more mercy. Because the only way you're going to become Krishna conscious is by the mercy of a pure devotee. We hear that again and again. There's no other way. We do everything. We follow all those instructions, everything we do. But it's by the mercy Krishna consciousness comes. So I would massage his feet. Once on Maharaj, he said to me, he's an initiating guru, GBC. Whenever he would have a dream about Prabhupada, he would call me. He said, so I had this dream about Prabhupada. He said, and you were massaging him. He said, and I was standing watching you massage. He said, and then you told me to touch Prabhupada's feet. He said, so I came and touched Prabhupada's feet. He said, are Prabhupada's feet cool? I said, yes. He said, because when I touched them, it felt cool. I said, yes, they were nice. They were cool. He said, okay then. He said, then it was good. He confirmed his dream. So this was our ecstasy. Just serving Srila Prabhupada. And what we have to understand, like we say, personal servant. It was personal servant. Everyone is personal servant. It's not limited. This is the Maya. This is the fallacy. I wish I had. You do have the opportunity. Prabhupada's right here. Especially in this place. Every place is there in our temple. But we know Prabhupada walked every inch of this place. You see now in the back, you see that big hole there. Originally, while Prabhupada was here, that's what it will look like when it's done. They'll be putting the metal jolly in there. See all the nice light coming in, some fresh air coming in.
this is back to what was here when Srila Prabhupada was here. So from his feet, trying to think of what it was just saying. Anyway, his feet and his toes, everywhere very clean. The bottoms of his feet, clean, pure. At nighttime, I said when I would massage him, if his eyes were closed long enough, I would put my head on his feet as I knelt at the edge of the bed by massaging his feet. You would think I was doing all this service all the time, but you want more. So I would just put my head, touch the Prabhupada's feet as I was giving him massage. Then, of course, the feet. And we're drawing some comparisons here to Krishna's form. Describes Krishna's very beautiful form. Prabhupada's form also very, very beautiful. On his legs, no hairs, maybe few hairs here and there. You never felt any hairs as I was massaging. Everything very smooth. His skin was very soft and smooth. And I would watch Prabhupada walk after the end of the massage. Of course, he just a gumsha to his knees. And you would see Prabhupada's legs. He had, we'd say, thin legs, skinny legs, and little bit out, little bowed. See, like bowed. And he would walk so nicely. And then as he would walk barefoot, only time he was barefoot was during massage. So he would walk then to the bathroom and you would see the oil spots from his lotus feet. You could see each step he had taken as he was heading into the bathroom from the oil from his lotus feet. So those legs, that was one of the first instructions I got during massage. I didn't know what I was doing. I had seen someone giving massage. When I left Prabhupada, Satsrup Maharaj became Prabhupada's servant. So we know Satsrup Maharaj, he's always writing, always dictating, always telling stories, keeping diary. So that day he came in, he said, I want to watch you give Prabhupada massage. Because neither he had ever massaged anyone. So I'm massaging Prabhupada, I'm doing his head, and then his neck. I have to describe all these parts, but and then his neck. And then I'm massaging his back, rubbing, pushing so hard. And Prabhupada looks at Satsarup. And Satsarup's got his book out and he's watching and he's writing things down, you know. And Prabhupada looks at him, he says, what are you doing? He says, well, Prabhupada, I'm watching you get massage, so I know what to do. Prabhupada looked at him. He said, yes, like trying to learn how to swim on land. You just do it. You have to jump in the water. That was Prabhupada's way. There's no training time. You dive in, and you're going to learn how to swim very quickly. I learned how to massage very quickly. I was massaging my legs are folded, and I'm massaging his legs and thigh. Not big, big thighs. What was it, like the elephant? Big, big. Prabhupada's thighs, they were smaller, but I'm massaging. And all of a sudden I feel this hand on my thigh, and he starts squeezing it like this. So I even got massaged by Srila Prabhupada for a few seconds. But then I learned. As Prabhupada had the belly, we say Brahmin belly, huh? I would think, and he never said anything. He never said, don't do that, which meant do that. So as we moved up to the body, I'm going backwards, but as we moved up to the body from the legs, then there were the arms, the extensions, the arms, and the same thing, the fingers. So I just pulled just everything. It was circulation massage. That's what it was. It wasn't, here they call Ayurvedic massage. You have one or two guys, they just slap so much oil on you. Yeah, you all know. They don't work very hard. They just kind of slap it on. No, that's not massage. That's, I don't know what that is. But massage meant work. So his arms from the shoulder, and maybe pulling down on his arms. And then again, you get the hands. And I massage every part. And then, of course, the fingers. And then what do? You pull the fingers, just like the toes. And you want to hear that crack. And Prabhupada, he'd be sitting all the time, just be sitting there. Generally, he didn't speak. Sometimes even secretary would come in. But most of the time, he's just sitting. Sometimes his legs are out. Sometimes they're folded in. And his Tulsi chain, he had the Tulsi gold necklace. During massage, he would hang it over his ears. So then it would come under his neck. So then you could massage neck very nicely as well. There's pictures of that. And his Brahmin thread would be lying across his body, across his waist, so you could massage very nicely. So then after I did the arms, and of course the chest, massage his chest, probably a very nice chest, maybe 2-3 hairs in the center of his chest, and massage his chest. And then I would even rub his belly clockwise. I just rubbed. I didn't know if it was of any use or not, but he sat there, accepted. And I would always think, because you know, when I grew up, we learned about, you know, the Buddha rubbing the belly, ask for wishes. So I would always think when I was rubbing his belly, I have some desires. I think maybe Prabhupada will fulfill my desires. Anyway, his back was the main part of the massage, sometimes half an hour. And again, Prabhupada, very soft, but very firm. His neck, he had this fold in his neck. You massage in between, even in between the fold, I would massage with my fingers. And he had that one big mole, big, like it was like that high on his back. You'd have to work your way around that mole as well. But again, every spot you do until he gives the okay to move to the next spot. I always tell, one time I was with him for a year. Every day, massage. Every day, massaging his head. Go like that, then I'd move. So I became a little proud. I knew what I was doing. I was doing it for a year. So one day I massaged his head. And then I thought, that's the right amount of time. Then I massaged his back. I went to his whole body without him telling me when to move to the next spot. I did it one day. I did it 2 days. Then what happens? Come to the number 3. 3 is a very big number. So many threes, Prabhupada said to me 3 times. The third time, if you don't do it by the third time, I think you're just finished. So I did it 1 day, 2 days, the third day. Massaging Prabhupada's head with the sandalwood oil, rubbing just like this, you know. I never knew what I was doing, but I was just rubbing like anything, you know, and putting all my energy into it. And I'm, you know, do the front and sometimes the eyebrows and pull the ears. And Prabhupada just sitting very happily. But the third day, and then I took my hands off of his head to start massaging his back. He said, "You massage me until I tell you to stop. Not until you tell you to stop." So that's the life of a servant. That's the life for all of us. You do until you stop. You do what you do until you're done. No question of shortcuts. Not RT, shortcut. No, there are no shortcuts to Krishna consciousness. Everything is personal. I said one day we were in Perth, Australia, massage time. And it was a devotee's parents' cottage, like a vacation cottage. Perth is right on the ocean. So they had a pool, little pool in the backyard. After massage, Prabhupada would go in the pool. He would bathe in the pool. He would soap everything. He would go into the pool. So then, of course, he would have his lunch. So after his lunch, I went into the pool. And while I'm in the pool, swimming around, Prabhupada's in his room and he rings the bell. And of course, I can't hear it. And he rings the bell, and he rings the bell. Finally, this young brahmachari goes in, offers obeisances. And Prabhupada looks, where's Shrutakirti? He's swimming in the pool. We love to say exactly what the person was doing. If it can get you in trouble, all the better. He's swimming, Prabhupada. He's sleeping, Prabhupada. This is what we would do. Because you have to tell the truth, right? You don't lie. They're not lying. But we would take pleasure in telling the truth to Prabhupada. Ah, he's sleeping. I'm awake, but he's sleeping. Anyway, where's Shrutakirti? He's swimming in the pool. And he said, well, your servant, he's in. Prabhupada said, you're all my servant. Not that just this one particular boy, I ring a bell, he said, anyone. But I took that as a very special instruction to him. We all have to understand, we're all servants. Within our ISKCON society, we're all serving Srila Prabhupada personally. And when you realize that, your service will increase. And you'll appreciate your service. And you'll relish that service. There's no impersonal. Prabhupada came to destroy that impersonalism, voidism. So our business is to understand that and to become personal, personalist. So everything we do for Guru and Krishna, it's personal service. And if you take it that way, except, oh, I have to do this. It's not, I have to do this today. With gratitude, we get to do our service. Everyone can become the personal servant. So many lifetimes are there. Huh? That's what we pray for. Life after life. Every morning we say it. Life after life. And when you realize it's personal, then more opportunity comes. More opportunity comes. So yes, it's back. And then, of course, you ended up on the head. Prabhupada sat very quietly, but he said to me, 3 things keep me alive. You all know those 3 things. Well, we know now. 1, massage, his morning walk, and his Ayurvedic medicine. He said those 3 things kept him alive. They were that important. I always say his Ayurvedic medicine was Yogendra Ras. You can look it up. It's still available. Supposedly has little pearls, crushed pearl, and little gold dust in it. It was expensive in 1972. Now, if it's not so expensive, you know you're being cheated because it's supposed to have gold in it. So unless it costs a lot of money, you're not getting Yogendra Ras. And that was, he took every other morning. It was a pinkish round pill, little round pinkish pill, 2 pills in his white bag. Prabhupada had his white bag. That was all his personal items, all his BBT bank account book, his passport, even that nail file I told you about, the nail cutter. He didn't have clippers. He just had this rod, about the size of a pencil, but thinner. And on one end, it had like a little spoon, tiny, tiny little spoon for ears. And on the other end was the blade. And with that, somehow or other, he managed to keep his nails to the quake. Very clean. Say Prabhupada, when he walked in his room, he walked in his slippers. Right here in Vrindavan. I imagine we have some slippers in the cabinets there. I have those slippers from the Japan Airlines flight. Slippers. He always had something on his feet until he came into the temple room. He had a deep navel. Prabhupada also had deep navel. And of course, we all know, we've seen so much, Prabhupada's lotus eyes. Beautiful eyes. So for us, the anticipation devotees would have, so I say my vision was very different, because I never was at an airport waiting for Prabhupada to arrive. I was always in the airplane behind Prabhupada as he entered into the airport. And we know in those days, anyone could come up to the gate. So devotees, every city, they would pack the airport. They would pack the gates. And as all they wanted to do was just see Srila Prabhupada. Just look at him. Look at his lotus feet. Everyone do dandavats. As soon as he entered into the airports, everyone would fall down. Kirtan would still be going on. Everyone jumping up and down to see the form of our Lord. Yeah. Servant God, we say the spiritual master. So this was our great ecstasy. But the ecstasy was there because everyone was serving. Morning till night engaged in service at that time. There were no breaks. There were no schedule. So many hours of service. You have to do this much. You have to do this much. Then you'll get this room or you'll get this maintenance. No, none of these things existed. We were all busy. And the busyness was very simple. Harinam Sankirtan, book distribution. The people that stayed back, they took care of the deities, kept everything spotlessly clean. This is how we were taught. I said during massage, we traveled. We both had two gumshas. We traveled. Prabhupada traveled very, very light. I also traveled very light at that time. So he just had the one suitcase. And there were two gumshas, cotton gumshas in there. And they were red and white, check. So we had traveled, now we're in Los Angeles. In India, everything very simple, but everything would get very clean. Even the gumshas covered in oil. Every day, oil. So we're in Los Angeles, 1 week, 2 weeks. So Prabhupada comes into the room, and you know how you would hand him the gumsha, and he'd put it around his arms out, and drop the cloth underneath, and then he just has gumsha on. But I handed him the gumsha, and he looked at it. It wasn't red and white. It was gray and brown, because it was just heavy with oil, mustard oil, from massaging day after day after day. He looked at me. He said, "Who's cleaning? Who's cleaning this? Simple little thing, a gumshoe." He said, "Who's cleaning it?" I said, "Oh, one devotee." He said, it's covered in oil," he said. Then he put it on. It didn't go on and on and on for a half hour, beating me over the head. He made his point very clear. He put it on and took massage. So I had been to India. Now I'm in Los Angeles, USA, New Dwarka. And I get the gumsha and Prabhupada bathes. Because then he dresses, fresh cloth, puts his tilak on, says Gayatri, takes prasadam. So while he's taking prasadam, I take that gumsha and I go into his bathroom. And it was just a bathroom sink. And I had some detergent, some Tide or whatever. And I remembered watching all the Matajis by the river, you know, beating the heck out of the cloth, you know, like this. So I got the gumsha. I put some detergent in there, some hot water in there, and I'm beating the heck out of this. I'm beating. And it became like brand new. 5 minutes or so. All the oil was gone, and I rinsed it out, and I hung it up myself. So 24 hours later, Prabhupada comes into the room for a massage, and I hand him the gumsha. And he looks at it, his big smile. He said, "Who has cleaned the gumsha?" I said, "I did. I did, Prabhupada." "Very nice," he said. "Just see. Very nice. So simple to please the spiritual master. I didn't have to do big gymnastics or anything. Just a simple thing of cleaning is doing my service. Whatever that service is, you take it very, very seriously. With attention. And if you do that, you'll make progress. You'll become happy in Krishna consciousness. You'll become happy with your service. And you're going to get more service. And you're thinking, how can I do all? And more service. That's what you get when you do your service nicely. You get more service. Prabhupada would say, unlimited. He would confuse us here. He would say to us, when you do service, you never become tired. You become more enthused to do service. This is devotional service. And his last thing, I'll say to him, in the evening I would give Prabhupada massage. And generally it was just his legs and his feet and his toes. Same thing, pulling the toes. No oil, dry massage. And he would be lying in bed or sitting up in bed. So it was one day we were in Los Angeles. And he says, "Do my toes." So I went to grab his toes. I thought, oh, he's asking me to do his toes. He said, "No, my toes." And he kept holding his hand out. So I said, "Oh, your fingers." He said, "Yes, my toes." He wanted me to pull those toes. That was the one time I realized. He liked hearing that click as well, but he said, "My toes." So then 2 years went by, right here in his room, in his bed. And I'm just, you know, not very conscious person. And I'm massaging his legs. And he put his hand out, said, "Do the toes." And immediately I went to grab his toes. And he said, "No, the toes." He held out his hand. And whatever he says, of course, we know that's correct. So then I grabbed his fingers, pulled on those fingers. So we have a minute or a couple minutes left. If someone has any questions pertaining to the class. Daivya Shakti Mataji in the back. We're working on the... Come on, somebody bring it back there.
We have in Prabhupada's house the Mahapriya Raj oil. What would you use that for?
I think that was probably in late 77. Only thing I was familiar with was sandalwood oil and mustard oil.
Okay.
Strictly.
No,
that wasn't a regular.
One time there was a servant, and he was massaging Prabhupada, and Prabhupada rejected him. He said his hands were too hot.
Yes. Yeah, he was very, very particular. It was one thing that was good. I never perspired. I never sweat. Because if you had sweaty hands, you couldn't massage him. If you had calluses on your hands, you couldn't massage him. And if you massage like a girl, you couldn't massage him. So he had definite, he liked a very vigorous, he said to me, it's passive wrestling. He said, "You do all the work and I get all the benefit." Which we know wasn't true. I was getting all the benefit. But he said that, called it wrestling. So he would wrestle. You would wrestle him and he would just sit there very comfortably and win.
And I went all the way to Bidha Parlor just to get the red checkered gumshas. I thought that's what he wanted. When I brought them in, he rejected them. He said, "No red."
Just because you were so determined. He knew how to play with all of our heads very nicely so that we never knew what we were doing properly.
So you would use red gumshoes, though?
Well, he did, yes. I specifically had red and white gumshoes. He didn't turn them down. The other thing he said to put me in my place was, you can massage my back as hard as you like. So that was like the gauntlet. He challenged me to do, because apparently I wasn't doing it hard. And I put the back, like I said, you put everything into massaging his back. That was the spot that you could put all your energy into and he could take it all. So he said that, as hard as you like. So I started, now you know, Prabhupada's sitting on a straw mat in a gumsha. You're right behind him in a gumsha on the floor. And I'm pushing and pushing. And he's sitting there like he was just resting. Nothing. No anything. And I'm pushing harder and harder. And I was determined to get to the spot where he'd say, okay, that's hard enough. Never happened. Never happened. And nor could I move his very tiny frame an inch. He just sat there. It was definitely a transcendental personality from the spiritual world with spiritual form. He wasn't an ordinary. There's nothing about him that was ordinary, Srila Prabhupada. But for me, that was also very good, because as hard as I was massaging him, I stepped it up for his approval. Is it about class? Is it about class? Huh? I didn't catch it. Book distribution. Well, that's not about the class. Questions, comments should pertain to the class. And Prabhupada would say that. Is it about the class? Otherwise, you don't just bring anything in for the sake of asking a question. Book distribution, most important. Deity worship, most important. Cooking for Krishna, most important. Prabhupada never said anything was less important. Everything, most important. Devotional service is most important. Chanting your rounds, most important. We have no lessers. Everything important. All right, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.